elephant.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You are in the mighty zone.
We are in the mighty zone today, in the zone, in the Fieldhouse, Copper and Maple. This is your headquarters, and especially for March Madness. We got TVs galore today. It's happening. It's the Pag Meter. It's Nick Anderson.
Yo.
Perfect. Lewis is on his game today.
Lewis, you here? You ready to roll? He's here. Let's go.
So I want to thank Russ back in the studio. This is the show that gets you ready for your weekend.
This is always a good kickoff right here. I agree with you. You know, come in here. Today is even special because obviously March Madness is taken off, and a lot has happened since last Friday, but I'm looking around, and you've heard us talk about this wonderful place that we're live at right now, and there's so many TVs in here that you cannot miss any game. I was telling Pags earlier when we were sitting here going through some of the material for the show that I should have been here all day and working out of here. Nick, we could have watched every single game. Just don't tell my boss, will you?
Correct. You're right. The Green Fighting Ducks of Oregon leading Wisconsin, the 12th seed leading the 5 seed.
Is that kind of like the Fighting Frogs?
The Fighting Frogs, but I don't see that as an upset. Come on, Oregon, that's a good team.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Oregon's good, but Wisconsin's always that sneaky dark horse team. Well-coached team, fundamentally sound year in and year out. I chose Wisconsin on that one, so we'll see how that ends up.
59-47, I believe, right now. It's at a timeout. We'll keep you updated on all the games. You can come down and hang out with us here at the Fieldhouse where, boy, what a weekend we had. It was the Leprechaun weekend, St. Patrick's Day, and now we're going to get you ready for Easter. Easter's April 20th.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's going to be here.
That's how quick it is.
Now, the Pag Meter is running for Man of the Year this campaign for the Lymphoma Leukemia Society. I'm thinking about having my big bash right here at the Fieldhouse on April 30th. April 13th. What do you think?
Why wouldn't you?
Okay.
I mean, it's perfectly, the layout's open, you got plenty of seating going on. Talk about some of the things that you want to get out to the group. And, man, I'm your promotions director, aren't I?
There you go. I'm thinking about having a call to the Pag Meter's Coaches AD Bash and get all the coaches from every school and every sport together because they're in that fraternity. They know what's going through. They got to deal with the parents, the players, the life of a coach. I don't know if I can make any money on it, but I just thought, I do so much for high schools. Why not get together?
Well, you should find out real quickly who's your friend or not, right?
Yeah, if they don't show up, I guess they don't get any love on the.
Depends on what you've talked about on those tweets that you sent out, depending on what side of the fence that their team landed on that night, right?
This would be a good time to come and yell at me, right?
This would be a good time, but then they'd have to understand the cause and what you're trying to support overall.
Yeah.
Let's put down the gloves and let's try to concentrate on what Nick's doing here. It's a good thing. You guys should get out and pay attention to some of the tweets and things that Nick has out there. And it's on your Facebook page, too, I want to say.
Yes,
Nick.
And you can go to my page on the lymphoma. If you want to be I'm looking for auction items. I know Helena Agri Enterprises, we're going to talk about them in a second. They're going to give me a couple prizes, I know. But MWOYPagMeter.org. It's very simple. You go in there, you can read the story, MWOY, just remember, PagMeter.org. And you can go on there and you can donate a dollar if you want. I don't care. So,
well, just think about how many followers you have. If everybody donated a couple bucks to your cause.
Well, that's my game plan.
Supporting you on what you do for them on a weekly basis doesn't take much. You go out and buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks every day. All you got to do is that day, eliminate that from your agenda. Support Pags on what he's doing, on his cause, and then it'll be done. You'll take care of your needs. Everybody will be happy. Easiest way to do it.
Wow, way to go, promotion director.
Like it.
Yeah, my other game plan is, of course, daughter Tessa. but she has 7 million followers. I want to get her involved, and I know we're going to get some people to get some gifts. We're going to do a raffle on her video, and I think I can dominate on that one. What do you think?
Well, I'm telling you, if she's a part of the deal with Matt, what she has out there in followers, maybe you need a penny per follower, and you'd be off and running, right?
She's a ringer. 59-47, Oregon leading Wisconsin. So if you have Wisconsin, you might be in trouble with 4 minutes to go. We'll keep you updated on that one. Show today at about 4:30, we're going to catch up with the Wonder Dog, my old wide receiver for the Bullard Knights, Rex Hudler, the Bullard Knight legend. We're going to talk to him. He's the voice of the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about, I want to ask him on maybe some youth questions, maybe some, you know, what if you're not starting? What do you do if you want to get in the lineup? And it can happen in any sport. You know, there's some kids who maybe are ready to get in the lineup and not. What kind of attitude do you want to have? And you've seen attitudes. Maybe they mope around, and coaches see that, don't they?
Yeah, the attitude thing, you know, I talking to different people and watching, you know, I pay a lot of attention. And I don't care what my attitude's like in the stands, but I'll tell you, when you come off the court or the field and you don't think anybody's looking at you, you're missing the boat on that one, and especially on a basketball court. Football feels a little more difficult because you got a helmet around your head, so it's difficult to see some of the expressions or some of the things that might be coming out of your mouth. But when you walk to the basketball bench and you got a bad attitude and the coaches see that, for one, that's just not going to go away. There's film out there that's ready to go 30 minutes after the game, and people can see that every single day. So if you're trying to really promote yourself, Nick, I really feel like that's one area you can control yourself. You're controlling your destiny there, but there's so many kids that pout so much from coming out of games.
No question, and I think and as a baseball or even a softball player, and if you're not in the lineup and you're having BP before the game, act like it's a game. Have a game situation so the coach can see, wow, look at Carl over there. He's on fire right now. He's acting like this at the game. So if you're shagging fly balls, act like it's a game situation. That gains points with coaches.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you don't think people are watching you. I mean, most everybody's kind of watching those kind of things from afar. They might act like they're not watching you, but they're watching. That's a big part of the game. And going back to the starting lineup things, whether it be baseball or any other sport, sometimes you get on teams that you're a little bit, you know, maybe not as good as some of the players on the team. And so you try really hard, Nick, and there's some kids that could start for other teams versus that team. So you got to really take a hard look at that school you're at or the club. The club, you have more of a choice where you want to be. Sometimes the club name will get you to be on that roster, and all you do is sit there, no matter how hard you work, because there's a certain group that's going to be playing ahead of you no matter who you are. You got to be real with yourself, and your expectations got to be real as well. Find a team that you can go play on. And to get better. That's the only way you're going to get better.
And if you can hit. Now, baseball, softball, if you come up with some big hits in that situation, you know, coaches like kids who can hit. Right? And basketball as well. If you're – oh, look at – Jen came through for us. If you're a basketball player as well and you're hitting your shots and you get in for that 2 minutes and maybe you hit a big shot, you're going to get more playing time. If you get in there and turn the ball over, I'm not – you know, maybe not, but same thing with baseball and softball. If you come out hitting, you're going to get more playing time. And that's just, we're going to talk about hitting as it changed today. We talked a little yesterday on the Rise Show, and I talked a little with Rex. I'm going to talk a little with Rex Hudler. There's Sam the Man right there. There he is. People starting to come in here in the field house, but we haven't given love to Helen Agra Enterprises yet. And we're going to get a little rain tonight. It looks like when you get up in the morning, your car is going to be a little wet. What happens now if you've already done your spraying on the field? Is that okay?
Yeah, it's usually things that you have out that you're putting out are usually they're going to be fine. So as soon as they dry, they're ready to go. So Rainfast is pretty quickly on some of the products that they have out there today. They're designed for that. But you have a certain amount of time of residual for their Nick. So if you put on your fungicides, you've got at least 7-10 days or more, depending on the product. Always follow the label.
And you'll follow label.
Absolutely.
Or check with your Helena expert.
Check with your label. Check your label or check with your Helena expert, and they will guide you through that label and then determine what you can get away with.
And if you have any questions, you can call 559-261-9030. And that should be on your speed dial anyway.
I would think so. And a friendly voice by the name of Rochelle will answer that phone, and she will find out where you Farm, and she'll find a location.
I got to meet Rochelle.
Come on
by. She
said
she's real friendly. I want to meet her.
She's a great person, does a great job for Helena.
Love that. 559-261-9030. Call Rochelle right now. Tell them you're listening to the show. And say, we heard you're the greatest thing since popcorn. We'd love to hear from you. So tonight we got a big baseball game in the it's the number one team in the Valley, Buchanan Bears on the PAG meter, versus the number two team in the Valley, the Clovis North Broncos. It's a TJ Fontaine, the pitching matchup, versus Riley Cooper tonight. I got to watch the game the other night, Nick. It was Clovis North versus Clovis West. Clovis West won in a rain, hung out there all night long. It was a long game, 12-6 final. But boy, oh boy, kids have changed. They just don't hit like they used to. There's a lot of taking. And I was always taught from the Mike Noakes days that if you get your pitch, if you get a fastball, you attack it, you go after it. These kids are taking fastballs down the middle, and I'm asking myself, what are they waiting for? What are they thinking about? And you're not the biggest baseball guy, but any sport, if you're looking at a subject, at a certain situation, and not taking it, why don't you? And I just don't understand.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you take it? It's probably one of the easiest balls to follow, right?
Well, you got to be thinking, if he throws me a fastball, I'm going after
it. Sure.
And well, they're taking
it. Are they not thinking fastball?
I don't know. That's what I don't understand. Every kid has a hitting coach now, and it just drives me nuts.
Why? The hitting coaches aren't qualified, you think?
Or? Oh, they're all qualified. It's just I don't know. The world has changed. You're going to see more strikeouts. Two strikes, they're still trying to swing for the fences. No one's situational. They're not making adjustments like shortening up the swing to put the ball in play.
So they're striking out more?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what you're saying is that ball looks pretty decent, but to them it's not perfect. They're willing to let it go by, but it's also a strike at the same time.
And they're not embarrassed anymore from taking a called third strike. Back then, and I said it yesterday, if we ever took a called third, if Coach Noakes was listening, we would run until we puked, okay? And that's how you learn not to take that call. Go on swinging. Swing and miss if you have to. But don't sit there and take it and then argue with the umpire. Drives me nuts, Nick. It just drives me crazy.
And I'd be curious on what Rex says about that in his conversation with you about something like that. But this hitting coach thing you're talking about, that kind of reminds me of, you know, all the other sports. Everybody's got an expert out there, right? It's got to be a trainer, or whether it be a trainer in baseball, a trainer in basketball, or in anything else that's out there. There's so many people out there, and there's a few of them that are really, really good, that they do a really good job in preparing your son or daughter for the sport that they're looking at. But there's also a lot of imposters out there at the same time that charge for their services, and really a lot of the parents don't realize what those services should really render. So these guys are actually doing their kids injustice, right?
Are you talking about a trainer, or let's say a 7-on-7 or an AAU coach?
Whatever, yeah. I mean,
is that a difference?
I don't know about a coach. Well, it depends on – I mean, I'm talking about somebody that's offering – lessons or things on the side and saying that, hey, listen, I'm going to work with your son or daughter. It could be a shooting coach in basketball, or, you know, somebody that's going to help them get through. You got to find that right guy, the guy that's got more interest in, you know, understanding of the game.
Would your high school coach, let's say Vance Wahlberg, does he have to, okay, you know, I'm going to go over there when Coach, you know, Jenkins over there, and he's going to work with him. Well, no. You don't go to him. I've had him before. Or how do you work that with a high school coach? Let's talk about that when we come back.
Sure.
Because I think it's important, especially, let's say, 7-on-7.
Yep.
Hey, coach, he's got me backpedaling this way. And the high school coach goes, no, I don't want you to do that. So it's communication. We'll find out. We're live here at the Zone. We'll talk about what's going on at the field house when we come back on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the Zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the PAG Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the Zone.
On a Friday afternoon, we're calling a Fieldhouse March Madness here at the Fieldhouse.
Well, starting to fill up here a little bit. I mean, it's getting to be 3:45-ish, and, you know, it's a Friday. It's March Madness. Some people are in there earlier, and I see a few people enjoying some adult beverages. And as you know, we've talked about this place and how many draft beers they have here. It's a number of them behind that nice bar. There's about a million TVs in here. So if you're looking for a place to escape or at least show up here prior to having to go home. You got plenty to do here for the next couple of hours.
Yeah, it's just going to start really Friday nights in here. After once we leave around, well, tonight we're on until 5:30 because San Jose State, Fresno State, Paul Leffler will have the call for baseball coming up right after us. But by the time that happens, the place is jamming in here.
Well, I'm telling you, there's something special. If any of you guys out there playing a little baseball, softball, soccer, anything like that, have your kids come in, wear your spirit uniforms, your uniforms, or any kind of spirit gear you have getting ready to go to the games, and you get a 10% discount, Nick, if you have that on tonight.
And we're going to have Mike Brink and I are going to have the call tonight on the Buchanan-Clovis North game, and you can go online. We'll be on the Internet. Also brought to you by Helen Agra Enterprises, so I threw him out. You're going to get some love tonight. If you go on Twitter, just go to my page, and it's right on there, HSS Sports Media. HSS Sports Media, you can get it, and we'll have the game on tonight. One against two tonight. It's the first places in the track is on the line. The other games are going on. You're going to have out at Clovis West, It's Dad James versus son Kevin. Clovis West hosting Clovis. Be an interesting one. And Central versus Clovis East. The track is fantastic. The C-Mac's on fire. Memorial looks like they could take charge in that thing. So baseball is going crazy. And also the PagMeter softball rankings are coming out on Sunday. So I'm a little tardy on that, and I apologize. But Buchanan is the number one team in the Valley in softball, just like baseball. So let me ask you, Nick Anderson. It's the PagMeter Nick Anderson, brought to you by Helena.
So Buchanan's the number one team in the Valley
in baseball and softball.
Wow.
So what do you consider Buchanan? We don't Clovis West. We're just talking between the break. Clovis West is considered a basketball school.
Well, I think it's starting to get there. I mean, on the girls' side, it's been long enough now where I think it's got that reputation, even though people that have followed that school or had kids there or just been a part of Clovis West have experienced that. But I think now it's becoming that way across the state. And that's what you get. You know, teams that show up in the state rankings consistently, more so on the girls' side. As of recent, the boys have taken a turn that direction as well. Football, we talked a little bit about football. Used to be a football school. I think it could still be a football.
I don't think it'll ever be a football school again.
Well, I'm never going to use the word never because you've used that word before, and I know that that's been...
Well, what I'm saying about that, Nick, I think it's going to be a hit and miss.
But here's the deal. So, to me, with all these transfer rules, I think it could go any way anymore. I think that people look at, the intermediate school didn't do very well the last couple of years. To me, it has nothing to do with success at the high school level in terms of what's out there. Now, if you have a coach there that's able to attract, whether they run some kind of an offense at the school, that they, you're trying to showcase receivers, you're trying to showcase running backs, your quarterbacks, whatever you're doing there, that you can go out and tell somebody at a different school or word of mouth, however they recruit anymore today. I don't want to say coaches are out recruiting. That's not the case. It's word of mouth mainly. And that starts to attract people. It's just face it. That's just the way things are. So when you say never, if Clovis West gets a football coach in there that's able to get out there and work hard to promote what they're trying to accomplish, and I don't know if that's not, I'm saying that's not easy to do, but if that happens, that can change a program very quickly.
Yeah, Tim Randall's the new head coach at Clovis West, and he's got his work cut out because he doesn't have the numbers anymore. That's the problem at Clovis West. When Clovis North showed up and opened school, that took people away. Then you got Buchanan take it. So Clovis Unified is weeding.
Clovis Unified
used to be two schools back in the day.
Yeah, but you say numbers. I mean, there's schools out there, Nick, that have, the Fighting Frogs, for example, in basketball. I know football's got a greater roster, and you got to have more kids on that to play. Both ways, especially depending on. But the Fighting Frogs from Ribet, whatever they call themselves up.
Ribet Academy.
Yeah, win no games one year. The next year they've won. They're state champions. That's not a great example, but it is an example of what can happen overnight. And as long as it's done legally,
right,
that can happen. So it's the right person. All of a sudden you put a name in there that has some kind of interest in there. You're going to get kids coming in. It's easier to come into Clovis West than it is to move within, from the outside moving in than it is to move within the system. So
no, you're right. Coach could change everything.
I think so. Now, is that going to be, going back to what you said never? That's why I say never. Is that easy to do? No.
I would love to see Clovis West. They used to be the USC Trojans back in the day, and they've been struggling for a while.
Absolutely, they've been struggling. But you can't – there's one thing I will tell you is that they've had a couple – they've had one group that graduated a year ago. They had 2 years with that group consistently. They should have won more games. The problem is they ran into the Central Grizzlies, which are a dominating football program right now that essentially owns football here in the Valley. They have a good coach. Two things that go on at Central, right? They have a large enrollment at Central with a lot of wonderful athletes coming out of that school. Then at the same time, they've got a coach that can attract from the outside. So you've got a bunch to choose from internally already, so you don't have to go out and get 15 players. You might only need to get one or two from the outside to keep that consistently moving forward. So that's what I mean by don't say never. Yeah. Don't say never.
All right, I like it.
What happens if the Central guy goes to Clovis West? Who knows?
Well, right
now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm going to say that's what has to happen for Clovis West to grab that gear and become that school again.
Yeah, I think, too, is winning recruits itself. Because when Central started winning, then all of a sudden when Matt Johnson left Edison, a lot of kids went from Edison to Central, and all of a sudden you've got 12 new Edison kids showing up on the Central campus already with 4,700 kids at school.
Yeah, those two schools go back and forth. It seems like they trade them every year. One goes back, next year we'll go back over there again. I can't keep track.
Yeah, and there's a little mix in Washington Union. We call it the triangle out there. So what do you consider Buchanan then? Is that a baseball, softball school? Because there's only one sport that's struggling at Buchanan. It's boys basketball. Pat Giles is out. They're going to have to get a new coach. The rest of the sports are almost...
Pat Giles is out as the basketball coach. That is another topic of discussion at Buchanan. What is going on at Buchanan? That's my question.
Kids are quitting.
When you get kids quitting programs... You know, there's a lot of harsh things that go on teams and kids quitting, you know, or coming home and crying about, well, the coach did this to me, or the coach did that. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the kid's not going to quit the program or the parent's going to talk them into it. But when you start quitting mid-season and the athletes that quit are really good athletes, and I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, I've got several emails over the last week from different people, and I think you got one as well.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to bring those up right now. There's no reason to. But all I'm going to say is there's turmoil going on there. What's going on with that program? That school, in my opinion, it has a lot of opportunities. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back after the hour
coming
break
up
here.
At 4:30. Rex Hudler, will have him around 4:30 or so. And then we're going to talk, did the Fresno State men's basketball team get the scrutled? We're not going to the NIT, and I know it's old news, but we're only on here once a week. I want to hear what you guys have to say because my email's blowing up on that. We'll take a break. We're live. It's the Fieldhouse, Nick. It's Pag Meter, Nick Anderson. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot to go. We're here until 5:30 on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles?
Yes! The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are live in the zone.
Oh, you're going different on me today.
I'll change it up on you for a Friday. I'm fired up because I'm watching a little basketball on all these TVs. There must be 50 of them in here. I'm
Duke,
exaggerating just a
little. Yeah, you come on down to the field house, Copper Maple. The Duke, the number one team on the planet, is getting ready to tee it off. And let me just throw it out now that North Dakota State has zero chance of competing. If they played 1,000 times, how in the world do they get in this play-in? Matt Johnson said it yesterday. He's perfectly correct, 100%. Play-in games don't count. Okay? I'm sorry, but this is just another way for the the NCAA to make some money.
Man, well, that's fine, but they're not making much money on that, trust me, because there's nobody there, for one. And second of all, I think it's good for some of those lower Division I teams to be able to get in and experience that. I mean, I know that that's something you and I kind of argue about a little bit as far as the white ribbon thing, but you got to keep continuing to promote. And some of these dreams that are out there to play in the tournament, regardless if you win or lose, it's out there, and some of it's goals for people. So, you know, I'm okay with the buy-in game.
Come on,
Nick.
Simple. 64 teams go in.
Hey,
the rest go.
Go
to the NIT.
Call it a practice game.
Let's go to the Helen Agri Enterprises LLC phone line. Matthew on the line. Matthew, welcome to the zone.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll make it brief. I'm glad you mentioned the NIT debacle with Fresno State not being included, and they just deserve way more respect as a basketball program and as a former champion. Some of the teams that were included in there, the Lipscomb Bison, that's just embarrassing. We don't get as much respect as the Lipscomb Bison. And also, just even further analysis, San Diego University made it. They were 21-14. They were 7-9 in their conference. Their conference, the unbelievably strong WCC. They were 7-9 in their conference. That just an inexplicable slap in the face to Fresno State. And
Matthew, let me ask you this. Matthew, let me ask you this, because I don't know the answer, but was it maybe the Fresno State's maybe non-conference schedule? Was it because Fresno State, they had 200 people show up in Vegas and maybe they saw them get waxed against Utah State, or they just get screwed? I don't know.
I can't see really any logic to it, and I'm sure there's an actual explanation of what it was like in the room where they're picking the NIT. I really have no idea. I just don't see. I thought it was the overall, just their record in comparison. How can San Diego University, which plays in the WCC, somehow get more respect than Fresno State that plays in the Mountain West? I would say the conferences are equally weak. So it just doesn't make sense. And then the Lipscomb Bison, that's just embarrassing. Most people in the United States do not, they've never heard of the Lipscomb Bison, and they certainly don't know where the university is located, nor have they even heard of the unbelievably weak conference that they play in, the Atlantic Sun. I'm sorry, but, you know, I mean, I mean the best for that university. But, yes, the Fresno State totally, it was an injustice to the program, I feel.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you on that particular school. Now, I might argue a little bit on the strength of the WCC versus the Mountain West as of recent. I mean, that conference has had a lot of success, and really two schools have probably, you know, promoted that, and one being St. Mary's in Moraga, and the other obviously being Gonzaga. And those two schools have been, you know, consistently good, and they've been up in the top 25, and we struggle to do that in the Mountain West consistently. So some of that could have played. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think Fresno State got
sure.
got the short end on that deal, but I think that people that do look at this, the smarter people, I'll call them, that make those decisions beyond us, I think they probably looked at that conference as having a little bit stronger.
And Matthew, I think, though, if this was the old,
okay.
the old days of Red Wave, the old days of Red Wave, we're in it clearly. I think so. I just think the Red Wave is hurting right now, and the NIT is out to make money.
Okay. Okay. So you think it was partly that picking schools that they could fill the arenas with? That's understandable.
I hate to say that, but you know, I'm sure there's things go on behind closed doors that, you know, I don't get all the information on exactly the rules on how that works, and I'm not sure there really is a set of rules. But it goes back to the CIF when we come up with seedings for some of these schools and who goes to Division One, and, you know, not to get into high school versus what we're talking about at Fresno State, but it all just kind of goes around in some room someplace, and everybody, they make these decisions based off certain criteria. Some of that criteria is is beyond what we might even know. And I'm assuming that I was shocked. Trust me, Matthew. I was shocked that Fresno State did not get into the NIT. That was probably the biggest shock I've had for the entire year is that.
And you said San Diego State has a great crowd. How do they not get in?
Well, that's the other one, too. Yeah, if you want to talk about Mountain West, I mean, you talk about Fresno State and San Diego State. I mean, so going against what Nick just said, but you're right, Nick. I'm glad you brought that up. I've been to San Diego State games, and I've always said we're going to try to get that atmosphere back at Fresno State because it's such a fun place to watch basketball games. But it doesn't matter who plays at San Diego State, so they're probably going to travel. My question is, if San Diego State wasn't in San Diego, Nick, would that crowd travel to whatever they're playing? But see, the NIT is special because you get to play at the highest seed you are is where you play your games. So they're looking for those schools that can bring the most to that particular school.
And
I watched a girls' NIT game at Fresno State. It happened to be women, and there was 200 people in the stands. That's what you're saying, Nick. So if it goes against what we're doing with the men's right now, why'd the women get in, and they only got 200 people there in their own home arena?
Matthew, the only thing I can think of is the NCAA messed up, and they probably thought they wanted to get San Diego State in, but blundered and put San Diego University in and made a mistake. They don't know. They took a nap. It was late at night, and they didn't put State at the end of San Diego because it makes no sense.
It does not make any sense at all.
I know. I thought that San Diego State deserved to get it. Look, I'm going to let you guys move on with your show, but just lastly, look, the WCC could be even a little bit better than the Mountain West. I would just argue that not as much better as Fresno State was 11-5 in its conference. San Diego was 7-9. So, okay, they have Gonzaga in their conference. They have to play them twice. But we had Nevada this year, which is a pretty talented team. So just saying, to me, the difference in the conferences was certainly not enough to merit Fresno State not making it. So, hey, and I'm going to let you guys move on with your show. Thank you so much for taking my call. Have
great
a good
call,
one.
Matthew.
Call, Matthew.
Call in
thank
again.
You.
Love it. 844-940-ESPN is our number.
Yeah, and I think
he's spot on, really.
Yeah, no, I know everybody out there listening has had side conversations about this since they, you know, last Sunday, whenever it was, when they came out with all the tournament teams and both the NC2A and the NIT, but you know, and it's kind of gone away a little bit, and it is Friday, and it's been about a week or so, but it's still burning within, you know, people that have watched that team and what Coach Hutt has accomplished there, and that great group of seniors that stuck it out for this year with him coming in, it would have been fun to watch them play at home one more time, Nick, if they had that opportunity.
Totally, totally agree. And
we were all
shocked.
They earned it. They earned it.
I really thought San Diego State and Fresno State easily slam dunk in the NIT.
I said, okay. So when they lost in the Mountain West, and here's the other thing too. So they lose, but they lose to the eventual Mountain West champion, conference champion.
Yeah.
Okay, the tournament champion for the Mountain. So it didn't like they got upset in the first round or. You know, they lost to some team they shouldn't have lost to. I mean, Utah State's a good basketball team.
Yep.
So they went on and they won the thing. So you can't really weigh that against them either. And they've had a great year. I mean, just one of those games that just didn't shoot perfect from the outside. They've been making so many threes a game. But you can sit here and talk about that for days and days.
We'll never know.
They didn't make the tournament, and that's the way it is. So to me, that's another step to where they say, hey, we're going to hang that up in the locker room, and Fresno State doesn't make the NIT and doesn't get asked to be in the NIT, so that'll be a great thing to add to what they're trying to accomplish next year. Next year they'll win the tournament, so they don't have to worry about getting in any tournament because it'll be an automatic bid, Nick.
Well, tell us about Fresno State. They're going to be really good next year.
I think they're out there. You're not seeing anything what you're going to eventually see. You know, what they've been able to accomplish this year coming in, new staff and new ideas and philosophies that go into, you know, defense and the overall hustle that you're seeing from that team, the way they play. If any of you have been out to watch the Bulldogs, and if you haven't watched them and you're like basketball a little bit, shame on you for not getting out and supporting these guys because they're fun to watch. It kind of brings back some of those memories. And there were a few games. I know it didn't fill up the arena, but we got a good crowd out there. And when they had that crowd, they even performed at a higher level. And we just got to keep pushing that. He's going to do his job. Coach Hutt's going to do his job in attracting those kids. He's a great recruiter, got a great group of assistants there. So I feel like if we can be patient enough and we can't just make it all snap your finger and have it fixed tomorrow, But what's going to happen here next season, I think you'll be surprised and they'll continue to move forward. Something very similar to what you're seeing with what Coach Tedford has been able to accomplish with the football program.
You mentioned the girls, women's basketball. Fresno State lost to Pacific at the State March Center, and really in front of about 200 people. Students were said, hey, come on in for free and everything, but no one showed up. And tell me about Pacific, because it's a good basketball team.
Yeah, well, see, somebody said something about Pacific. My daughter played against Pacific earlier in the season, and they've got some kids on that team. That coach up there, Coach Bradley Davis, who I know very, very well, they've got a group of kids that have been transferring in from other schools that come out of a certain AAU program that have gone out and played for other schools, higher-end D1 schools, I'll call them, Louisville, USC, and these kids are Utah. So you got three kids right there, and some of them didn't have the effects this year because they weren't on the court. But something's going on in Stockton. I'm going to tell you that right now, and I've kind of watched this from the outside. Coach Davis is attracting some pretty good talent that's coming back in. So a lot of kids make these choices to go to these larger programs, these bigger programs, and you and I talked about that the other day. You go to a Pac-12 school team, it's Pac-12, and that's great that you go, but if it doesn't fit you and your talent, you're not being honest with you, there's always going to be those, hey, we're really going to use that kid for this, and that's all we want that kid for. But if that kid played on a lower-end Division I team or a mid-major or something like that, maybe they would start, maybe they'd play more. It's what you want out of that program. So these kids have gone out and they played one season, and they're already on their way back. And now they're some of these are headed to Pacific. I think Pacific will be a very good contender. Thank God, goodness that they're not playing in the Mountain West. They're a WCC school. We just talked about WCC school on the men's side, but they're going to be contender right now. Boise State's a good team in the Mountain West, and I think Pacific will continue to move up in that WCC ranks.
And on the men's side, we saw Irvine, and you mentioned the same thing. We got kids transferring.
That's right.
The graduate assistants. Transferring from Stanford to Irvine.
Well, they're grad transfers,
yeah.
So they're not assistants.
Oh, I'm sorry, grad transfers.
Correct.
Sorry.
So you're right. There's a difference there. So that's a great point that you're bringing up. If you graduate early and you have that opportunity, let's say you go to Stanford. There's a kid on Irvine, for example, Cartwright, that played for Stanford and finished there and grad transfer to Irvine, I believe, was a grad transfer. So you play immediately, right? You don't sit out. You can play. Reed Travis for Stanford on the men's side transferred to Kentucky. Some of you that follow those Kentucky sports, he played for Stanford a year ago, graduated. Now he's at Kentucky playing this last year of eligibility. So you're seeing a lot more of that going on. A lot more kids are graduating sooner, Nick, or they're having to sit out 1 year because either they're redshirted. So kind of a cool path because you're able to play for two different schools. You have an opportunity to maybe showcase, get better at a mid-major, let's say, and all of a sudden you get better and your talent's better. Now all of a sudden you're attracted. You get to play at even a higher level, play for the University of Kentucky, and have an opportunity to win the national championship.
6:20 to go in the first half. Washington, the Huskies, lead Utah State 26-21. So it's going to be a battle.
I would not put away Utah State. I said that about Irvine a week ago right when they came out. I said don't sleep on UC Irvine. Watching Utah State in the Mountain West tournament, And seeing what they can do, they can shoot that ball like no other team. And there's not just one or two guys. That team can shoot the perimeter very well, and they're very focused, fundamentally sound. So it doesn't surprise me that that's a ball game right now.
It'd be nice to see Utah State win just for the Mountain West. Got to support your league, right?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
Coming up at 4:30 or so, we're going to have the Wonder Dog Rex Hudler on live from Kansas City. So you don't want to miss that. If you're an old baseball guy around here, you know who Rex Hudler is. He's my old wide receiver back in the Boulder Knight days. Don't go anywhere. We're live right here at the Field House. Got some pizza in front of us.
Flatbread.
I'm going to eat this whole. What was it?
Flatbread. You got a cauliflower crusted pesto chicken pizza here. And you also have a flatbread with chicken and some mozzarella.
I love this. This is really, really good. We're going to talk about it. We're at the Field House brought to you by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. We'll be back. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Field House. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pagmeter and Nick Anderson.
You
are live in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, thanks for hanging out with the Pack Meter, Nick Anderson. Hey, reminder, tonight at 6:30, it's the Valley Championship of Rugby over at San Joaquin Memorial, Andy Lowe's old school. It's the Bullard Knights versus the San Joaquin Memorial Panthers in the Valley Championship of High School Rugby. Big crowd. If you haven't seen a rugby match, there's nothing like it. They get after it, Nick.
So let me ask you this question. For all you listeners out there, there's probably a question that you have too, possibly anyway. I have it. How many schools have rugby teams?
Not a lot, but it's getting more and more popular all the time.
And it's not a CIS-sanctioned sport for
high
school.
It's a club sport.
It's a club sport. So it's a great sport, by the way. It's a club sport. I'm glad the high schools, there's about, what, four or five high schools?
Maybe more. I think there's more than that now. But I like it for the offensive linemen. They get some feet work in. They stay in condition during the offseason.
Ah, there you go.
You know, so they get it going on. But Memorial versus Bullard at Memorial tonight, 6:30. Also Wednesday night, if you want to meet the new Clovis West head football coach, Tim Randall will be right here at the Fieldhouse. They're having a meet and greet with him. So, Tim. Love Tim Randall. I think the Clovis West Golden Eagle parents and everybody's going to love this guy. He is a great, great guy.
Well, they kind of know him already, don't they, Nick? I mean, he's been around the program before. It's not like he's an outsider coming in from Sacramento or, you know, down south, L.A., or which Clovis West has done so much of that in the past. It's good to maybe see somebody that's internally involved, that's been a part of the program, that's got some connections with some of the parents and things that are currently there. And able to kind of get in and dig in right away instead of coming another coach coming in. What's the math on the amount of coaches that have been at Clovis West in the last 5-6 years?
Yeah, we had
three or four.
We were talking to Neil Grossman. He had his son four coaches in 4 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, he Tim Randall was a defensive line coach. What's weird to me is Clovis West always goes around the planet. They went to Mars and Saturn to go find a coach, and they said, hey, we got him right here in our backyard. So after they searched and searched and searched and went all over the world, they said, you know what, let's just stay home and get Tim Randall.
Yeah, nothing's wrong with that at all. I think that's great. You know, some of these high schools, I think BHS hired a local person to come back and coach that team that actually went to
Michael Stewart.
Went to high school there, right? Had some success playing himself and came back and putting it back in at the high school.
Yeah, he's a former Hall of Fame Bakersfield driller. He played for the Fresno State Bulldogs, defensive back, a Ram, and Dolphin, and now he's going home. I think anytime you get to coach your old team, like if you coach Cal Poly, which, by the way, don't they have a new coach for basketball?
Well, not yet, but they're working on that.
Is there rumors out there?
There's rumors out there. There's rumors out there, okay. But the rumors change every day, Nick, okay. So I'm not going to mention any names, but the names pop up. One day it's one person, next day it's another. But I think their goal over there is to have somebody in that position full-time by the Final Four.
We're going to have Rex Hudler coming up in a few minutes for the Kansas City Royal color and, of course, the legendary Bullard Knight. But we talked a little bit before Matthew called that the Buchanan Bears need a basketball coach. And if there's any sport struggling over there, it's clearly the Buchanan Bears.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, they've got some – it's like you say, okay, so – it goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, kids playing multiple sports or at least two sports. You know, they had some football kids that were playing, you know, Stevenson was playing basketball as well when the season started, then he disappeared. I was told he wanted to concentrate on football, which rightfully so. He's a great football player, but he also is a good basketball player. So there's something else there that got him out of there, and I just – there's more to it internally. That's something wrong there. I think they made that change. I know they mentioned that somebody resigned. I don't think it was a resignation. I think it was more of a, hey, you need to go kind of thing, because there's a lot of turmoil. Talking to a few parents that I know very well over there that had kids playing in that program at some point, they're looking for a new life over there with a new coach. But my understanding is the old coach is still around running stuff over there in terms of the little group, the AAU program or some of the feeder programs. Or sending out, I don't understand, if you're not the coach anymore, I'm not sure how you can continue to do that. And second of all, if you've had some issues there, you kind of want your leader to be a new leader and show the people and the parents. And it goes back to what you're saying about transfers, not to say that I'm promoting that, but that's how you can get that stuff done, right, is have that person in place and have that program move forward. That's too good of a school. I say Buchanan's a really good school. They're good in a lot of different sports. There's no reason why they shouldn't be winning more basketball games. They have a large enrollment. They sit right in the middle of Clovis Unified, probably in the best spot any school could sit in is where Buchanan is. So they're going to get a lot of good families, good kids coming through there consistently because of that large enrollment that they have, where other schools have struggled with that enrollment, as you mentioned earlier. So there really is no excuse, in my opinion. So it's just the attraction to the sport and the person that's in charge. That's bottom line for me.
I'm putting Greg Clark's name in the hat for the new head coach. He's the Clovis Cougar girls basketball coach. Just letting you know, I think he'd be perfect at that job.
Yeah, I think Greg Clark, he's a good coach. He coaches the girls over at Clovis High. Took over for Perkovich, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
Who's a longtime Valley coach that's been successful in the boys'
Still
side.
Still throws 86 miles an hour, old man baseball.
There you go.
Love that guy.
So, yeah, Greg would be a good choice. I'm not sure if Greg wanted to. Last time I talked to him, he loved doing what he's doing with the girls' side and has had success, but he did initially interview for the boys' side over there, so I would think that he'd still have some kind of an interest at some point. Adam Wall is the other one over at Buchanan who's is a girls' head coach. I'm not sure they would move him over that way, but he'd be a great one as well.
Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back to the one, the only, the wonder dog, Rex Hudler, my former wide receiver back in the Bullard Nate days, is going to join us. Don't go anywhere because Rex is a great motivational speaker. Don't go anywhere. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
You are in the zone on a Friday afternoon here live at the Fieldhouse on Copper and Maple. Come over here and join us. I want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises LLC. Got to catch up with the main man himself, the Bullard Knight legend, probably the greatest athlete we've ever had in Bullard Knight history in 60-plus years in the history of the Bullard High School Knights. It's Rex Hudler, the Wonder Dog, my old wide receiver. Rex, how are you today?
Oh, Nick, great. Since you guys called from the beautiful central San Joaquin, are you kidding me? I'm fired up.
Well, Rex, I love to talk to you before this your season, during the season, and, of course, after the season to wrap it up. So we're getting ready before. You're the voice of the Kansas City Royals, former Angel, voice of the Angels. What's it like to get ready as an announcer, to get ready to go to a major league season?
And 20 years, Nick, it's amazing how fast the time has really gone. Having the second best job in the world. You know, the first best was playing, and that was my dream. And God allowed me to reach my dream and to get to play for, seven teams in three countries over 21 years. And then I wasn't sure what would happen after that, but I learned how to talk, how to have fun. And then 20 years later, Nick, here we are. I needed about 3 or 4 weeks as a player, as a broadcaster. Man, 2 games and I'm ready to strap it on. Let's go.
Well, you know the players. The players love you. You can relate to them, which is awesome. When I told people I'm going to have Rex on Friday, they got your old people are listening, so they love to listen to Rex Hudler, the stories, the great, the great play, the great hustle, Rex Hudler. And what do you see? You see major league players every day. What do you think of them compared to the old days?
Well, Nick, you know what? You use the word old. I don't believe in that word. I just believe in experience. And age, you know, is a beautiful thing. Those folks that might be listening that remember me from my playing days, man, how much fun I had. I share so much with the young people here. And we had a coach's clinic not long ago for high schoolers, high school coaches, and all the youth coaches here in the area in Kansas City. And I got to share. And, you know, Nick, the playing days, it was really fun with the opportunity to play for some of the greatest managers in our era, Yogi, Billy, Earl, Whitey, Joe Torre, you know, Terry Francona, Joe Madden, Whitey Herzog. You know, it just went on, it seemed like. But, you know, what I was telling the coaches was the coach that had the greatest influence on me was my high school coach. And Coach Stokes, he instilled in me, you remember, Nick, a winning attitude. He had a culture. That's the one thing that Mike told me as I relied on him for some information on this coaches clinic. He told me the coaches have to develop a culture. Bullard Knights had a culture back in our day. They had a culture of winning. They had a culture of playing the game right, hustling always, no excuses, man up, own up for your mistake, and move on. You know, he taught us to be men. You know, Mike Noakes is way advanced in his day. I mean, he was a pro coach coaching high school. So I gained a lot from him, Nick. And, you know, the basics are always there. You can control two things as a player. One is your attitude. You control that. You know, you be happy, you be thankful, you have a thankful heart, you come to the ballpark, you're ready to help the coach, the team, one of your teammates, whatever it takes, that's attitude. The next thing is your hustle. Are you going to decide to run the ball out when you hit a one-hopper back to the pitcher? Are you going to walk to first base? Are you going to trot? Are you going to give it 100%? Those are the only two things a player can control. So, look, those things, if you can control those and you have any kind of talent at all, you have a chance to really go to the mountaintop and have fun and really enjoy yourself. And that's really the nuts and bolts of it. I tell you, Nick, the money's changed. The game's changed a lot. But one thing hasn't. That's the round ball meeting the round bat, the old classic confrontation. So it's difficult to call. No one ever knows what's going to happen. 162 is what it takes to see who's the best. But I can just definitely say from the experience and watching these players now, I've seen guys go through their entire careers. Pedroia, Jeter, Ichiro. I mean, I started broadcasting in 99, and it's 2018 now, and I've really seen a lot of guys' careers. And what separates the Hall of Famers from the other guys is the way they go 90 feet. 90 feet, busting their butt. Torrey Hunter, Ichiro Suzuki, Jeter. Those guys, Ken Griffey Jr., always gave 100% down the line on a routine out in the infield. Anybody that pulls the chute, pulls the string as a broadcaster, I have a hard time with that. Before I throw them under the bus on the broadcast, I'm going to go talk to them, see if they're healthy, everything okay. I'm not going to bag the young player because, you know, he may be injured. And so am I going to get up there and get on him for not hustling? So, look, I know what it's like to play hurt. And you have to do that in the game of baseball. So I wait on it, but you know what, though? Giving it all really is what people want. And so, you know, that's exactly what a ball player is worth, is what kind of hustle he can give.
Of course, we're talking with Rex Hudler. He's talking Bullard Hardball. Of course, Mike Noakes, yeah, we could talk about the legendary Noakers, and he's listening right now, so Coach Mike's listening to Rex. Rex, I'm glad you brought up the youth, and I watch a lot of high school baseball, and I think it has changed because I can't remember the days when we would take a fastball right down Cockapoo Lane and just people act like it's no big deal and then come in and maybe swing at a curveball low, and it's 0-2. Kids today, they want to be Aaron Judge. They want to hit it out. They want to uppercut swing. Two strikes, I don't see any adjustments, maybe shortening the swing up. So baseball has changed a bit. It's a hardball league, or everyone's trying to hit the long ball, and strikeouts are up.
Well, one of the reasons it's been so pleasurable out here in the Midwest watching the Kansas City Royals general manager Dayton Moore put together championship teams is the fact that we have the biggest ballpark square footage in the game. And so in order to win in our park, you ain't winning with homers. So the years that the Royals went to the World Series recently in 14 and 15, of course, they lost to your Giants, Nick, in 14. But they had guys that put the ball in play. They used their speed. They hustled. They hit and run. They put the ball in play with two strikes. I mean, it may not be a great base hit, but it was a little ground ball, and they beat it out. Or the fielder with pressure on him because the runners are so fast. They missed him, and they made a mistake. First baseman pulls his foot. That's a rally. He steals second base. He gets in scoring position. A lousy doinker. A lousy single scores him. That's how they score their runs. And if you have a pin, you win. So that formula we've been seeing here in the Midwest in Kansas City, and that's what they do. And, you know, they're building another championship team. It's coming. We're going to win another championship within 5 years out here in Kansas City again because the architect, Dayton Moore, understands the game of baseball. Starting pitching is not what it used to be. It's not as dominant. So, you know, you have to rely on who's going to get you 6, 7, 8, 9 innings. Who are going to be those guys that consistently throw? And, you know, really all you need is three, four runs per game if you have a decent bullpen and you can win. But like Bullard had back in the 70s and 80s, if they had culture, and that's what they have here in Kansas City. So it's a lot of fun to be able to broadcast games, and that's the way the Royals are. They're speed and defense number one. And number two, they hustle and they play the game right. And number three, they are good citizens. They're all good kids. They're all respectful of the fans. You know, Dayton Moore runs a certain kind of baseball out here, and it's been a real pleasure to broadcast.
We're talking with the legendary Rex Hudler. We all know Rex. If you're been a baseball guy forever here in the Valley, Rex is one of the best. Now, Rex, just to clarify, you know, you're talking about Midwest. I'm a Cardinal fan. We got Paul Goldschmidt now, so we're excited about that. We used to play that Kansas City Royal baseball. So go Cardinals. I just had to throw that out there. You will, you know, you're an old Cincinnati Reds fan. So Rex, let's talk about Mike Trout, big contract. Bryce Harper, big contract. So I put it out on Twitter. I said, well, if those guys are getting that kind of contract, when Aaron Judge comes up, because Aaron is a former Fresno State Bulldog, what kind of contract is Aaron looking? Because he's now the new face of the Yankees.
Aaron Judge can just go to sleep with a huge smile on his face. Believe that. This kid, there aren't many like him. You know, the captain of the Yankees, the future Hall of Famer, the owner of the Marlins, Derek Jeter, they haven't had a player like him come along. Well, they have Aaron Judge, and really he has his parents to thank for that. Mike Batesole, who helped him mold him at Fresno State, did a great job with the young man. He's respectful. Never forget it. A friend of mine, CC Sabathia, who's in his last year as a Yankee, he has a chance to be a Hall of Famer. When I walked in the clubhouse a couple years ago when Judge was new and he was a rookie on the block, CC was all laid out on the visiting couch, and Judge was sitting over there, and CC jumped out of his seat and he came up and to see me and said, "Hud, what's up, man? Good to see you." And I said, "I came in to see the Fresno State Bulldog." He looked over, and Judge, he goes, "Kid, get here, get over here." And he jumped off the couch at the minute he beckoned his name. And he came running over. And that's the respect the kid has. He understands those who came before him, how hard it was for them to make it, and to make it as good as he's got it. So, look, this young man will deserve every penny he gets. He continues to be a marquee player in the biggest city and with the most championships in the world. I'm proud of him.
And I can't imagine what the endorsements are going to be like for his career. We're talking with Rex Hudler. I mean, right? I mean, but people just eat him up. I know his jersey sales is off the charts. He's just got that giddy up and go.
He's genuine, Nick. You know what? And you got to respect young players like that. It took me a long time to figure it out. Although I was raised with similar parents, had manners, had respect, was grown up with that style. Yes, sir. No, sir. So the respect factor was there, but respecting the players who came before me and always, just the coaches and those people giving them the respect that they get was important. And young people need to know that those who came before you are more important than you are. And when you show respect, guess what? You get respect. And I've learned the other way around. I've seen it. If you don't get respect, you don't get respect. So, you know, baseball is a lot like life. It's a tough game, and you play it every day. And so, you know, how do you handle it? What kind of shampoo do you have in your house that you can shampoo the crap out of your hair after you've been dumped on in baseball, after you get fired, get released, or you're 0-for-20? You know, what do you got inside you that's going to step up and get a couple of knocks and help your team win? I mean, I learned so much about myself in the grand game of baseball that, man, I owe baseball everything. It taught me a lot about who I am and the perseverance and never quit. 10 years of coming back to Fresno and living with my dad and hearing my family and friends saying, "Wow, do you think you'll ever make it? I mean, you know, when are you going to turn pro?" I heard that so many times. You know, and Coach Mike or Jim Sweeney, God rest his soul, that man, he wanted me to walk on him, and he would scholarship me at 24 years old after 5 years and 6 years of A-ball. He said, "Kid, look, why don't you come to Fresno State and be a Bulldog and catch passes from Kevin Sweeney, my son here. You'll be a star." in me how tempting that was to give up baseball. But I told Coach Sweeney, Coach Sweeney, that's one of the greatest offers I've had since Dan Devine at Notre Dame gave me an offer. And I got to tell you, I'm going to make it in baseball. I turned down the greatest football institute in the world, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, that was national champions in 77, and I'm going to make it in baseball. But I sure appreciate you, Coach. I appreciate you and the Valley here and what you do. And Coach Inabo was there and on his staff. And so I really was flattered. But just throw another log on that fire, in the internal fire of the heart, the drive. I'm going to make it. I'm not even going to make it. I'm going to get 10 years in the game. So you have to have that drive. And that it goes back to the way I was taught. Mike Noakes didn't raise a quitter. He raised a tough guy that was willing to, you know, pick you upside down, throw you on your head and turn two and break up the double play. Hit him, go get him, slide to either side, pick up some dirt, throw out some reindeer.
We're talking with Rex Hudler, and this is, you want to pull the car over and wake the kids up, because this is a great interview. Rex, so one other question I want to ask you, what do you tell the kids, because I get a lot of these emails, hey, Pagmeter, you know, my kid's not really starting, he's kind of moping on the bench, he really wants to get in there. What do you tell the kids who maybe aren't starting now, but during a game, what do you want them to be doing?
Learned how to become a successful failure, Nick, and a lot of that was riding the pine for nine. And what I learned was when I was depressed, when I wasn't playing, when I was, you know, feeling sorry for myself, I would turn on the news. I would watch, you know, what's going on in the world, and I would see people suffering and people not even, you know, eating a full meal every day, not getting any sleep, not even having any shelter to live under. And I would go to the ballpark and think, you know what? Things aren't too bad for me. Here's what I did for many years, Nick. I would pull for my teammates. I would go in that locker room, and I would look for someone who needed to be picked up, because there was a lot of players that felt bad like I did. So when I would encourage my teammate, that would take the thoughts off of myself. Okay, so that's how you get out of the funk. You encourage others. You pump up your teammate. You think about him. You say, hey, look, it's okay. You're going to come out of it. And by talking positive that way to your buddy, takes your thoughts off yourself, and then you inject yourself with some energy and a little bit of positivity to continue to climb the mountain. The mountain is baseball, and it's really tough, and hardly anybody ever gets to the top of the mountain.
We're talking with Rex Hudler. So, Rex, let's talk a little Major League Baseball before we get you out of here. I know you're a busy guy. Who's the team beside in the American League? I know Boston, the Yankees. Tell me some of the teams that we need to keep an eye on this year.
Well, you know, you're going to have to watch out for Houston. Houston wasn't happy with where they finished last year, even though they were in the playoffs. They've got a tough team. They've got offense. They've got pitching. They've got a pen. They're going to be tough. You know, those major market teams, those are some, you know, those are guys that are always going to be in it in the East. That's probably the strongest division. But I can tell you that some of the surprise teams that are coming along here, you know, the Minnesota Twins in our division in the Central, American League Central, they did a lot. I mean, you know, Molly, I love Paul Molitor. He was let go as a manager. They have a new skipper out there. Be interesting to see with all those players that they got, that they can, you know, put something together. But everything pretty much revolves around pitching and starting pitching. Cleveland's not as strong as they used to be. They got rid of a lot of talent there on their team. You know, their Allen, their closer, and a couple other pieces. You know, Miller, the big left-hander in their bullpen. So, you know, it's just going to be who can stay healthy and really what teams gel and, gosh, who can establish themselves as a contender. That's going to be interesting to see. It always is. It's really hard to call.
And I know you're a American League guy. We're talking with Rex Hudler. How about the National League? We carry the Giants on our station. The Dodgers, can they ever just get over that hump?
Well, you know, you talked earlier about the long ball and swinging for the fences and everything. Well, you know, the Dodgers, they can win their division and they can get to the playoffs, but they can't win a World Series. And in my opinion, one of the reasons is they don't situational hit. They can't get a runner home from third with less than two because they're busy swinging for the fences. And that comes back to show them, I mean, to hurt them. So, you know, at some point, you have to learn how to play the game of baseball instead of just trying to drive the ball out of the park. There's strategy that's involved. Every time a player comes up, there's a situation. You know, you got to hit to the situation. Move the runner. Bunt them over if you have to. I mean, people don't like the bunts nowadays. I think small ball is a huge part of baseball that always has been, and it always will. For teams that don't have power, you have to get runs somehow. Dodgers will be tough. The Giants, thank goodness they still have Madison. You know, they keep him. We'll see what happens with him. I don't know how much longer they will if they'll keep him through the season, but, you know, they can't score any runs. How are they going to score runs? That big ballpark, they better manufacture some. So who knows really what's going to happen out there. San Diego's trying. They're coming. You know, they're trying. But, you know, the Rockies will be strong again. It's going to be an interesting year to see, Nick. But 162, and you got so many elements with injuries and stuff that goes on during the season. On paper, you can do your best to call the game of baseball and try to figure who's going to win. But no one ever has figured the game of baseball out, and nobody ever will. It's too complex.
Talking with Rex Hudler, and the last question for him, getting a couple emails in. They want to know, is Rex Hudler a DH guy or a non-DH guy? And I'm the way you're talking, you like the bunt and the small ball, you might be a non-DH guy. What do you think?
No, you know what? The pitching's too valuable. I'm not going to let my – who wants to watch a pitcher hit? Who wants to watch him hurt himself running the bases? Uncle. Look, let's get a hitter in there. Let's see, you know, get you 1-9. Make it tough on a pitcher who don't have 8-9 to breathe out in the National League. You can take a deep breath when he's got outs like that. Make it an offensive game. They're doing everything for the hitter anyway. Why not just sit the pitcher down and get a real hitter in there?
Rex, you're one of a kind. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We want to get you back during the year and see how the Royals are doing. And I love you. You're outstanding. Rex Hudler.
Nick, thanks, man. Every time you call, I can't wait to talk, especially if I know Central Valley ears are listening. What a beautiful baseball heaven that place is. Baseball, all sports, tremendous people. What a great opportunity I had to be raised there. So I'm always honored. Nick, it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's be happy. Let's be thankful for the things that we have, not for what we don't have. And let's continue to move forward and see if we can pick somebody up and make somebody else happy.
Well, give a hug to Jennifer, your lovely wife, and the four kids, and tell them we love you. We love the Hudlers all the way from Kansas City to Fresno.
Love you too, Nick. Thank you.
Rex Hudler, the Wonder Dog, joining us today. We'll take a break. We're live here at the Zone, here at the Fieldhouse. We'll be back for more on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, it's a deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the Zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the storm, man.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, still the greatest startup of any show there is on the planet.
Absolutely.
Jim and Russ and those guys got to get it. An Emmy, a Grammy, whatever you get. For starting the show, I love that.
Kind of went away for a little while, got back, and finally got momentum going again, right?
Got a momentum. It's the Pag Meter. Nick Anderson here at the Fieldhouse. Copper and Maple, the place is starting to jam. I want to thank Rex Hudler. Great interview. He is so much fun to talk with. He can talk about youth sports all the way to all the managers he got to hang out with back in the day. No one like Rex, but I want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, 559-261-9030, and Rochelle will answer the phone, and she's supposed to be, and I'm going to call her because I want to see just for myself, because you're telling me that she's the greatest thing since popcorn on the phone, right?
Oh, she's good. She takes care of a lot of things in Helen in that office, but one thing she'll do for you if you call in looking for a spot that you can call for some business opportunities with Helena and with their great crop advisors that are out there. She will help you locate one that best suits where you farm.
So if somebody calls and says, hey, I need to get a hold of Andy Lowe, Will she give Andy Lowe's number, sellout, or is she
one of those? But, well, she'll take a message or she'll put him to his office phone. The problem is he's never there, so it'd probably go to voicemail, get lost
somewhere.
Well,
he's out in the field somewhere probably, working hard.
He's in Fireball.
Yeah. So, yes, Andy Lowe is a legendary Minarets Mustang and a former Memorial Panther, the catcher. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But, hey, listen, you know, look, there's a lot of things going on in sports today, and we're at the Fieldhouse Live. And
how about this pizza you just gave me? This barbecue chicken pizza is unbelievable. One word.
Giddy up.
Giddy up, no doubt. Yeah.
Oh, that is get two words there.
Well, I use it as one word. Giddy up.
Okay. Well, yeah. You say it quickly then.
Yeah, giddy up.
Yeah, you're sampling some wonderful food. You got a flatbread chicken barbecue. Flatbread, and there's also a pesto that is pesto chicken pizza, but it's made with cauliflower crust. So if you're looking for a low-carb option, that's a great one to order if you're here. Plus, there's so many different beers on tap here. This place is starting to jam up jelly tight. Right now, I said it, you heard it here, jamming up jelly tight here at the Fieldhouse.
It's a great place
to come.
Hurry up,
come on down, wear your uniform if you got one on, your soccer, your little league uniform, and get 10% out on tonight's food all the way through the evening.
Well said, Nickster. And also a great place to come before the big game tonight. I'm going to be out at Clovis North as Buchanan takes on Clovis North. 1-2 in the Valley. You got also at 6:30 at Clovis West. It's the James Patrick versus Kevin Patrick, son versus dad. Clovis versus Clovis West. That'll be a good one. You got games all over the Valley. So if you're going to a game, stop in before or after the game, come in after.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, yeah, either way at the Fieldhouse, you're good to go. There's people coming in right now, and the rugby match is coming up. I see somebody with a Cal Poly Mustang shirt on, so I'm sure there's plenty of good people here.
You get excited about that, don't you?
Oh, I love the Cal Poly Mustangs. Greatest school on the West Coast when it terms to agriculture. Feeds the Valley so well with that green fee. So many people out there on the coast in the Valley that Cal Poly has brought out there to support agriculture. They do it so many different ways. But, hey, listen.
Yes.
Track baseball. Baseball in the track. And it's down to that tonight. It's going to be some really good matchups. You're going to get into that. But, boy, I'm telling you, you just mentioned that, and you got me fired up because I can't wait to listen to you tonight talk at the Clovis North Buchanan game. And that's going to be a great ball game. If you're looking for some great high school baseball, as Nick just referred, get out, check that one out. And if you don't want that one, and one great thing about Clovis Unified is that you're never going to run out of lights. Everywhere, everybody's got a light in that, so you can play those games as long as you want over there. Great venues, probably the best venues I've ever seen in high school baseball in California, right here, right in your backyard. Get out and support those kids.
Well said, Nickster. Yeah, 6:30 is first pitch. I would say bring a jacket. What are you thinking?
I'm going blanket, maybe a little thermos with some hot cocoa in it. Maybe I might buy a hot dog at the game, but that's kind of what I'm going to show up with.
And, of course, 5:30, Fresno State. Paul Leffler will have the call. The Bulldogs playing baseball at San Jose State. And the softball team is hosting San Jose State. So if you're a softball fan, get over to Bulldog Diamond. I really like the softball team.
I think you're wrong here. I think baseball and softball both play at home. That's the big deal this weekend.
You got both
baseball at home against San Jose State, and San Jose State's also bringing their softball team. And you're looking at the Fresno State Bulldogs going in currently 9-5 overall, 1-2 in the Mountain West, taking on a San Jose State team that's 12-8 and 6-3. You got two great teams in the Mountain West right now going head-to-head, two great programs. You don't hear us talk too much about San Jose State with other sports and things, but it's one thing San Jose State does bring is a great baseball and softball teams. Softball teams coming in here tonight, San Jose State 18-8, and the Bulldogs are 15-9 going into tonight's game. And they play over the weekend too, Nick, and
yes. It's
going to be a good one.
Yeah, the legendary Los Banos Hall of Famer Paul Leffler just texted me and said, yeah, they're both at home tonight, so you've got a lot of action, but you know what happens after the game? You get over here to the field house.
Just thought I'd help you with that, you know. I mean, just trying to, you know, help support the other side of the fence.
I'm not very smart, okay? It was a 50-50 chance. I don't
know. Paul, but thanks for texting that over because I had to jump in there. But
it's not too many times they play at the same time.
That's why it was such a special weekend, I think, is that you get two things going on right across the street from each other. You got two great venues with four great teams playing.
Yeah, so it'll be exciting on Cedar Avenue out there. Get on over there. There's plenty of stuff to have. This is why I love the Valley. A nice Friday night to go out and watch local sports is nothing like it.
No, it's that's what I'm saying. You got high school sports tonight. You got Fresno, and they get good crowds at the baseball games.
Yeah.
And the softball brings a great venue, a great amount of people, energy. You get those local kids. You got a few local kids. I don't have the roster right in front of me, but I do know there's some kids that are that are local. Plus, San Jose State has some local kids coming in as well. So you get a couple things going on. You get to watch the Bulldogs that are going to bring some fan base that's relative to their roster. San Jose will have some local people out there going in to watch their friends as well. So you should get quite a bit of blue and red out there, and it'll be a great matchup with two huge rivalries.
Yeah, softball-wise, they all play travel ball during the summer. So everybody knows everybody since probably the eighth grade. They've been playing together, so they all know. They start getting recruited early in softball. And, boy, I'm telling you, if there's a sport around here that's starting to blow up, is softball, because this area, I mean, Buchanan and I have number one in the Valley, Bullard 2, Clovis North 3, Stockdale 4, those are my top four in girls softball. There's some talent, and there's a lot of Division I kids on that team, and not only Division I, Division II, and all the way through. So no question about it. But, Nick, I want to ask you, because yesterday on the Rice Show, I talked about it with Matt, and we do know in college football, you'll see a kid sit down maybe in an all-star game, and he'll say, well, I've decided, and he's got three hats on a table, I've decided between Michigan and Michigan State and Alabama, and I'm going to pick, with the thank of my family, Michigan. And they all go crazy, and they pull the shirts off, I'm going to Michigan. I'm starting to see it in high school. Instead of, going, I want to thank my family and friends, I was going to go to modern day, but I've decided to go to St. John Bosco. It's come to that now in high school. Oh, what's your when I saw
I'm
that?
I'm speechless right now. I'm staring out in this crowd, just watching these people drink some fine beverages and have a good time. I see a couple kids with Cinderella dresses on, and all of a sudden you throw that at me, and I got sickened because I started thinking about social media again and highlight tapes and things like that. And now you mentioned this and. It's the me thing, right? And it's just an interesting thing that to experience that today and today's generation out there. My question to you is, if you were playing high school sports today and you had that option of that thrown at you, would you participate in that?
Not a chance. I just,
how do you know that, though?
Well, see, I don't know. Good point.
I agree with you. I think that it's ridiculous to do all those kind of things. And if you're going to transfer, do your thing. But then I take a step back and say, well, I'm not in this era. You know, when I played, there was nothing like that going on. Knowing who I am today and what I'm about, do you think Nick Anderson might participate in something like that?
Well, for me, the old pag meter, I had a Letterman's jacket, and not 1 minute I ever wore it.
You still have it?
I still have it. Gianna framed it. It's just white. The sleeves are so white that you need sunglasses to look at it. Where you see some of the old ones, are all...
Sure.
But no, I never wore it. I just was
because
not
you never
like
Because you never were let out of the house.
That's true. I never wore it out of the house.
Well, that's true. Blue. You know, I will tell you, Letterman, they're special. I mean, there's something, it's like a wedding dress. You keep it for the rest of your life. It's inside the closet and, you know, wrapped up in some kind of a thing. And every now and then you take it out with your wedding album and you share those kind of things with everybody. And, you know, I got a disc or something with my wedding on it. And I don't even know if you can play a disc anymore. But those are the kind of things that are out there. Social media is funny. The other thing I want to get at, too, how do I feel about that? I think it's crazy that they do that. The other thing I want to ask you about...
Was there recruiting going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The Fighting Frogs.
Yeah, the Fighting Frogs.
That's going to be our new motto for recruiting, is the Fighting Frogs win the state championship. They went 0-90 the year before, and then all of a sudden they win every game, and the coach admits, hey, listen, I recruited everybody. I have no problem with that. Legally, he can do that, but legally, he can't do that. The coach himself can't get out there. For him to make a comment like that's crazy, because really that recruiting... can't, if a kid transfers, that's one thing, but you can't get out there and actually recruit players. That doesn't happen. So that's an interesting comment that he made. Maybe he's gonna leave and go to college basketball now. But if he goes to college basketball, Nick, he can't yell at players, because Tom Izzo yelled at a player and everybody's chastising Tom Izzo. You can't, in today's generation, you can't yell at a player for doing something wrong, can you?
It's a whole new world. I don't even know who wants to be a coach anymore. Well, a high school coach, you've got to be a psychologist. You got to be a therapist. You got to deal with parents, kids. You can't hurt their feelings. I don't even know what to tell you. I look back. I had the greatest coaches who made me who I am today. And if they didn't yell at me, I'd go home and get yelled at. So it's just how it was back in the day. I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, I don't want to sound old. You know, I think that, you know, there's things that you can say, well, how I dress today, you know, the words I'm using when I speak, those type of things. Yeah, that can appear to be old to some of this generation. One thing I can tell you that should never go away is discipline. Discipline should be, as long as it's done in the right way. And I don't think raising your voice is something that, you know, people, you can't even, it's like people get called into the principal's office, the parents come in there, hey, you yelled at Johnny yesterday because, you know, he was sitting in the back or something. But, what was he doing? And they're doing something crazy, but parents don't want to believe that their kid would ever be doing something wrong. So there's no way, why would you ever yell at my kid? Because, of course, he's perfect. Perfect.
Well, it is the new world we live in. I think softer parents are starting to raise softer kids. And what I see from coaches who tell me is the parents that played sports, they get it. It's some of the parents have never played a sport in their life, raising an athletic kid, and they don't get when the coach is maybe yelling at them or maybe discipline them with the extra wind sprint. They don't get that. And so I just think it's going to get worse and worse, and we're going to run off officials. We're going to run off good coaches in the future.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, again, it depends on what level and how much you're getting paid, right? That's on how much you're going to take that. But today's about winning basketball, football, baseball, and any sport you're coaching, mainly those three. If you don't win, you go. And sometimes these guys get kind of caught up in the fight. And you know, people say, well, you can't do that in your office, can you? Well, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess I can't do that in my office. I can't raise my voice at somebody if I'm talking to them about something that's going wrong.
You got to know your soldiers.
That's it. And I think, you know, playing the game yourself, you get caught up in that. That's just the way things go. You're not getting into them to where you're actually, you know, violent, but you're just raising your voice. As long as it's done the right way, I see nothing wrong with that.
Everybody coaches different. There's all that. You see coaches that are very quiet, gather yourself, focused, get back in there, and do what you can do to get. There's those kind of coaches. Then there's other coaches that get in your face. And if maybe if you can't, I don't know, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to get on it. You coach the way you coach, and kids got to figure out how that coach is. And if you're playing 100%, if you're mentally focused, then do your thing.
Well, let me throw this at you. My good friend Andy Lowe just threw something at me.
Our PAG meter information specialist?
Yeah, he texted me here because he listens to the show. But get this, and I'll let you absorb this. You tell me what your thoughts are. This is his comment. We got disciplined until we learned self-discipline.
So true.
What do you think about that?
I like it. I think some of these coaches are turning men into men and girls into women and making them better for the next part of their life. Because seriously, if you can't handle a coach yelling at you, maybe sports, go back home, get your trousers on, and play video games all night long. Because maybe sports isn't for you.
Yeah, I you know, example of that is my oldest daughter played for Coach Campbell at Clovis West. You know, and she'd always be, you know, he's getting on me. But then she goes to college and plays, and that particular coach she played for was not like that at all. And she at one point told me, she goes, I wish she would just yell at me or something or get mad about something. And so I think you don't realize what that's doing for you until later, as long as it's done right. And, you know, I've had my days of either agreeing or disagreeing with that style, but later in life is what everybody always says. You really appreciate your coach 15 years later. If you can't appreciate your coach then they didn't do you any good. But most of the time you'll talk to people that have played for a coach that has a high standard when it comes to discipline, and they'll tell you that helped them get through life, and they remember that. I have a couple people like that in my life that I know that were really hard on me early on that I consider that way. So if at the time, yeah, it stinks. But later in life, they're trying to prepare you for something that's beyond what you're doing today.
It's great
so
to
Andy's
say it now.
So Andy's comment is accurate.
It's great to say it now, but you got to go through it. And as a kid, and as a parent, you're a parent, Nick, and all these parents are different. And You know, my parents back in the day, they didn't talk to the coach. It is what it is. You either played or you didn't play. No one transferred. You battled. You didn't play well. So be. These parents now want to know what the coach's email address or cell phone. We're talking this and that.
Twitter handle.
Twitter, the whole thing. I don't know. You got to be a communicator anymore. And there's nothing wrong. Like Matt Johnson says, I want coaches to, parents to come out to my practice and see what we're doing. And there's other coaches saying, I don't want you here. I don't know what's right. You're a parent. Do you ever go to practice?
No. That's one thing that I will tell you right now that I don't do. And I'm not saying that those of you that go, that's your deal. So everybody's got a reason for something. But I will tell you this. If I was a coach, I would not allow anybody in my practices but the players and occasionally a college coach coming in and out. And if a certain parent wanted to see why their kid wasn't playing, and I had to prove it to them by showing them this is what they do in practice, this is how they perform, then come on in for a practice. But consistently being there day in and day out, that to me that's just a little over the top.
Now, come on now, Nick. Cole Anderson's one of the top players in the state. That's easy. Yeah, you don't need to go to practice. I already know he's going to score 28 points and hit 12 threes. What if Cole was one of those kids who's like ninth on the depth chart? And you want to know what's going on, because he comes on and goes, Coach, their dad, he's not getting me in there. And you think he is.
Well, that's what I just told you. So if I had a reason to understand why my kid wasn't getting that playing time, the coach would say, I'm not saying it's an open door so I can go in every time. I would go to the coach and say, hey, what's going on? Because a lot of parents don't realize that their kid, they think their expectations of their kid is always higher. And it should be as a parent. You want the best for your kid. I understand that. But you also got to be real with yourself on the overall talent. And if that coach can't show you because it's just all you do is watch basketball games and your kid doesn't play enough to be able to evaluate them on the court, field, wherever it is they're playing, then, yeah, you need to go check it out. Coach should invite you in. But that's an invite only and prove to you that. I'm not saying, hey, come on in. Everybody's here. Let's get our lawn chairs. This isn't little peewee basketball now. Coaches need to do certain things during practice to get the buy-in from the team. Some of that stuff some people can handle and most of you can't handle. And I don't mean it from the wrong perspective. I'm saying let the coach coach his team the right way. That's what builds chemistry. Also, don't put that much pressure on your kid by sitting in the corner and watching practice, and your kid thinks he's got to watch you every time. And it's just, to me, it's just, at some point, that's like for middle school, or I won't even say middle school. I think that's like a youth soccer type of thing or somewhere that kind of falls into that a little bit more than high school. You got to kind of let go at some point.
I remember one time I was watching a football practice. And I was standing next to the coach, and one of the fathers came out and said, hey, brought his kid over. My kid's not playing, and I want to know what do I need to do to get him in there. He's frustrated. And the coach goes, well, first of all, I haven't seen your kid in 3 days. He hasn't been to practice. And he looked at the kid, and the kid didn't know. You know, I guess the dad called his bluff. I'm going to practice. Because what happens is some of these kids come home from practice. Hey, how'd it go? And it went great, but I'm not getting in there. We don't know this whole story. And sometimes, you know, I interviewed one time the legendary Jim Fugman, and he says he used to write everything down. So if a parent does come to him, he'll say, well, you know, we had practice and we had some drills and he never got in there, or he came late, or he did this. He can identify, and the parent goes, oh, okay, well, that helps me out. Now I need to know what to work on.
Yeah, a lot of parents just walk away with their, you know, just kind of, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize that, you know, real quick, and they go away. Then all of a sudden that coach just kind of wins that parent over, and that parent's all up in that kid about the things they should have been doing or the things that they were telling them they were doing, right? So, yeah, I mean, that takes place. I've never, plus my kids don't want me there. They don't want me there. Trust me. Plus, I got other things to do besides sit in the gym and watch basketball practice at 3:30 in the afternoon. I've got some other things to do. But occasionally, I think it's a good thing if that's really what you want to do. Kind of see where your kid stands, and if he's not playing that much, kind of what goes on. But just not up. Just not something that I believe in. That's all.
Couple update here: the Huskies of Washington leading Utah State 54-50, 9:58 to go.
Ooh.
The Utah State's hanging around.
Yeah.
And also,
I told you what I tell you earlier.
Yeah.
Irvine and Utah State.
And Duke is, what, now they're leading. Well, I don't have the Duke score, but they're barely leading right now. So, but it's still early to go.
Well,
I want to thank Russ back in the studio, the Wonder Dog Rex Hudler, Thank you. Come on. I mean, we'll podcast this, but if you missed the Rex Hudler interview, it's now 54-53 Washington State. Washington leading Utah State. We got a ball game. Nick, great job again. Thanks to my
information.
Andy Lowe from our information specialist today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Heading out to Buchanan Clovis North. Get out to Bulldog Diamond and Pete Biden Field and watch some great baseball all weekend long. You've been listening to The Zone here at the Fieldhouse on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
What does Matt say?
Get in the game!